ABC News.
First of all, we need to be aware that as we come into every summer, there's always a risk for the electricity system. Summer's always the test, if you like, because it's when we see particularly people cooling their homes with air conditioners, leading to the spikes and the sort of maximum demands for the system we see. And at the same time, when you have the extreme heat, it's when we get power stations, thermal power stations, and also parts of equipment in the network that are thermal-based struggle a little bit. So we have this sort of, everyone wants the most electricity, and the system is under some physical struggles to generate it when we have those really hot days.
Why physical struggles? Is it because the system's ageing? What is the problem there?
Fundamentally simply a basis of thermal-based electricity generation. When the hotter it is, the things don't cool down as well, and therefore they can't produce as much. And similarly with network equipment, things like transformers are oil-based and they are more likely to not work as well when it is extremely hot. It's simply a physical reality of our system.
We saw a fairly extensive power blackout in Sydney last week, and I think only overnight have the last homes had their electricity reconnected once again. Wild storms took out power. It took really a week or so for it all to get reconnected. Is that the sort of scenario that we can expect to see as this extreme heat continues?
Storms are very unpredictable with power outages. There's no doubt that when we have a storm in parts of Australia, which is most of the country, where we have overhead power lines, trees get blown around and power lines get knocked down. That's a physical reality. What we saw, and I haven't been fully briefed on details, but in Sydney in the last week was a circumstance where the amount of damage to various parts of the system were such that there was a significant rebuild required, which is unfortunately why it did take so long. If climate change, as is predicted, leads to more frequent, more violent storms, that is a risk we're going to have to figure out how we manage. There's no doubt about that.
I'm just thinking about the worst-case scenario painted by this latest report, up to 1.3 million Victorian households possibly losing power on those extreme weather days. That's extraordinary.
That's a possibility. We need to say that's not guaranteed to happen now, and certainly the Australian Energy Market Operator and what they've put out today have clarified that they are doing everything they can to make sure they have emergency reserves that they can call on if required and hopefully make sure there's efficient supply. Certainly the generators, we put out a joint statement with the Australian Energy Council this morning. Generators are doing everything they can to make sure everything's in shape, and there's a couple of generators here in Victoria that have been out of action recently, that they'll be back in shape by the new year. And from a network point of view, our members are always coming into summer right across the country doing everything they can to make sure their equipment is as lined up as possible. Things like planned outages are not taken on 40 plus degree days and that sort of thing.
Does that reflect the situation in California earlier this year, where parts of the network were shut down for safety issues when there were wildfires burning in that state? Is that what you're referring to?
The California situation is quite interesting, because one of the key reasons the Pacific Gas and Electricity, the main company there, was turning people off on those extreme fire risk days, was that there is a history there of their assets starting a significant number of fires, and hence the company having significant liabilities as a result. Now, up till now in Australia, in South Australia, the network there does sometimes have, in certain parts, turn people off under certain conditions, and that is known that triggers a certain heat, certain fire risk, wind, that sort of thing, and it tends to be known and well communicated to those local communities. We haven't traditionally done that elsewhere in Australia. The reality is, when you get extreme heat and combined with prolonged power outages, that's not good for people's health, so, elderly trying to keep cool. So we have tended to keep the lights on here in Australia where possible. But there's also no question that as insurance and bushfire risk continue to evolve, as we see some more climate change, this is going to be a growing concern.
So just finally, given the sorts of warnings that this report has given to us, is there anything that can be done to make the power supply more stable?
There are many things that can be done, and AEMO and the businesses are doing as much as they can right now. The only recommendation I would say for listeners about these days is, first of all, your power is more likely to go out when there is a significant storm or in these multiple days of extreme heat. So hopefully it won't go out in either, but there's no question the risk is higher on those days. And so the sort of things you can probably do to be ready are have some emergency numbers handy. If, for example, you know there's a storm coming through, make sure your mobile phone is charged just in case power goes off. If your power does go off, once it's safe to go outside, one thing absolutely, please don't go anywhere near fallen power lines. Unfortunately, people can and do get harmed when they do that. And then check things like if your power is off but your neighbours is not, for example, it may be a very localised fault, whereas if your whole suburb is off, it's obviously a bigger issue that the crews will all immediately be getting onto.
ABC News.